Yes, listeners, we're talking to Julie Lapham. Is it Lapham, Julie?
Lapham. Yep.
Lapham. From something we've been lapping up, a popcorn company called Pops Up, spelt POPZUP. I guess we'll go back to the basics, Julie. Why popcorn? I mean, it's been popular, I must say. But what is your connection to popcorn?
Well, I've been in natural foods, most of my career and in product development. I've worked for a lot of companies. And my husband's been in branding and marketing, and we like to tinker and looking for something to do as our kids were moving on and starting their own families. And so we together wanted to create a brand that we thought was like something you'd make in your own home, that was something, made from local farms and, with products made from local farms that was made by hand. You don't really see that kind of thing in, much of the snack industry on sort of the national scale. And so, that was sort of where we were thinking. We've always cared about the environment and sourcing local and pure and simple quality ingredients, and that's really how we started.
Yeah, you check all the boxes as doing everything right. I've been reading about the company, and that you care about the whole industry and the process, and any label you can put on it, you have. I mean, non-GMO, gluten free, and it goes on. I'll tell you this much: we took one of the large bags to our swim club on a Saturday, and they lapped it up. I took the butter one, just no, we took the truffle one. That was it, the truffle one.
Okay.
And yeah, and they lapped it up. So now that disappeared. Yeah. So I mean,
That's
how
usually
long?
what happens.
Yeah, I mean, people once they start eating, I can't stop. That's the catch. Now, when did this all happen? You said you've been in the food industry for a long time, anyhow, huh?
And I had, God, years ago, I used to do demos at Bread and Circus in Boston. They were
Okay.
eventually, yeah, they eventually were, became Whole Foods, and I worked for a big foods broker. That's when I was quite young, and then started working in product development. I developed frozen organic dough for a local company. I worked for Lindt Chocolate. I did a lot in the local farm arena. I was a manager at the Portsmouth and Exeter Farmers Markets, which were at the time the oldest nonprofit-run farmers market in the country, and it was in their
Really? Where was
35th
it?
year. Yeah, this was Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they were the overseers for the Exeter, New Hampshire, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and Dover, New Hampshire farmers markets. And they were a nonprofit board. It has now become part of Seacoast Growers Association. It's not a nonprofit board anymore, but it's still there's still a great network of markets. This was probably, I don't know, 2015 and about that time, and they were in their oh no, not 2015. It probably would have been more like 2010, and they were just celebrating their 35th year as the nonprofit board.
Well, I mean, one of my neighbors and close friends, actually, although she's not with us any longer, she took some time to live in New Hampshire, and I know how intense she was about food products. I mean, it was really intense.
Really?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just ingrained in us northern New Englanders. You know, we're just passionate about, you know, where it comes from and, you know, the quality and, you know, the way the animals are treated is important and the caring about the crops and the end result. It just really means a lot. And that, you know, and that's sort of why we've done so well is, you know, and part of why we've done so well is because our local community has been so incredibly supportive. New Englanders support locally grown products, locally made products in a very big way.
Now, where are you geographically? The name of your town doesn't leap into my brain as something that's...
Probably not. It's an old mill town.
Go ahead.
Yeah, old mill town. We're in Somersworth. We're actually in an old mill, an old refurbished textile mill, which you know, is keeping in our mission as well. They're beautiful spaces, old brick walls and giant windows and beautiful old floors. It's wonderful because not only is it aesthetically beautiful, it's you know, again, being sustainable. It's not tearing down old mills and putting up something new. It's reusing them.
Have you been to the original Manchester?
Oh, of course. You mean Manchester, England, or Manchester, New Hampshire?
Manchester, England.
You know what? I haven't. I've been to London, but not to Manchester.
If you went to Manchester, you would say, "I know this place."
Really? So it's an old mill town.
It's an old mill town with water running through it, and most of the buildings are still there. A very old and very well loved computer company called Digital Equipment Corporation actually had their headquarters in a mill town not far away from you, and they incorporated the mill building into the advertisement for their product line.
Makes so much sense.
Julie, you have such broad experience in the specialty food industry. I think your product is top notch, but the way you go about it, I mean, you have really stiff competition, and you don't seem to skimp on your expensive production. How do you get by?
Well, we have to charge more. You know, it's it's just unfortunate the way it is, but. You know, we're not going to skimp on, you know, not just the quality of the ingredients, but the quality of the production, just to save money. And people seem to not, you know, people don't seem to care about the price. You know, they'll try it and it doesn't seem to matter because there is such a big difference in the quality. And some of the feedback I get is that, you know, it tastes like something they've made themselves. It's the best bag popcorn out there, and it's because we have real people making it, and because we have real farm fresh ingredients that we use. And
yes, see, I don't know how you manage to do that at the production level you're at. I mean, I was reading about how many real hands touch the product in your production. It's just sort of amazing. I don't know how you do it.
Let me give you a visual. So. Most bag popcorn or any other bag popcorn that I've seen on the market, it's these giant chambers, and most of it's co-pack. Most of it is, you know, these giant popcorn-producing facilities that make a lot of different brands. And they have these giant machines that starts by air-popping it and blowing it through these chambers, and then these chambers spray-dry whatever you know, flavor they're marketing at that moment on it, and it continues to fly through, and you know, it's all sort of evenly coated because there's no human hands on it. And then it goes to the end of the chamber after it's been sprayed with some kind of flavor, and then it's bagged. Whereas with ours, you know, my husband and I started making it ourselves. I mean, when we started, we tested everything at farmers markets, making them in a very, very small scale. We would buy a popcorn popper that was very similar to what you find in a theater, you know, those small, you know, 2-pound-at-a-time poppers. And then we would, you know, put in a big kettle and put our seasonings on it. And then we had four funnels in a row in this sort of grid system. And we would pour the exact amount of kernels in a bag, you know, seal them up and take them to farmers markets. And that's how we started. And then, you know, sort of the fan favorites at the farmers markets, we slowly started growing into bigger and bigger equipment, but we found equipment that would do what we used to do. So we're basically doing what you would do in your house. You would pop it on your stovetop, put it in a bowl, season it, and then eat it. And that's essentially what we're doing, but as we get bigger, we find more and more efficient ways to do it on a larger scale, but it's still not a huge, huge scale because there's only so big, you know, so much you can do by hand at one time. And so right. For us to grow, what we've done is we just buy more equipment and hire, you know, more people and train them to, you know, love the popcorn and make it, you know, take pride in it, make it themselves. And that's how we're expanding. And we're now, our first year, we just finished our first year at Expo West. And have done so incredibly well. Oh my gosh, we're at we are now in some really fine natural food stores out on the West Coast, like Bristol Farms and Nuggets Market just picked us up, and Huckleberry's. All these retailers that really care about the kind of quality that we provide, and so we're growing.
It's really good.
It's
a very good product. I mean, it's, you know, and you're talking to somebody who, by the way, I love popcorn, and I've had lots of exposure to it because my father was in the movie theater business at a time when they had popcorn machines. They popped, you know, and I used to get the help. So I mean, I ate a lot of popcorn. Huh?
Lucky you.
Yeah, I know. We've interviewed a woman in Chicago who's was the grandfather and invented a popcorn making machine that's still in use today. I can't remember the name of the company.
Is that Gold Medal? Gold Medal, I think
so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyhow, so when I mean, I don't want to sound arrogant, but when I give my stamp of approval, it's well considered. So
I can tell you're an expert for sure.
And as I said, I watched this whole the big bag disappear at our swim club.
Yeah, some people just really have trouble stopping when they start eating our popcorn.
Yeah, well, how many flavors do you have?
Right now we have 5 flavors. The truffle butter is the newest. Our best sellers are popcorn that contain, you know, either real butter or real cheddar, you know, like we have Butter Me Up, Cheddar Head, yes. And then our truffle butter. But we also have a couple vegan flavors. We have Cheesy Herby, which is made from, you know, really beneficial ingredients like nutritional yeast and herbs and spices. And then we also have a Maple Cinnamon Toast, our sweet flavor.
And yeah, that one I haven't tasted yet. Is that a big seller?
People love it. I mean, it's not our top seller, but I get, you know, there are people that just are, you know, enthralled by it. And what it is it has like a kettle corn flavor, but it's only lightly seasoned, just like Maple Cinnamon Toast, and because that's the name. And so it's very snackable, you know, it's crunchy and fresh, and it's got a little bit of that kettle corn flavor, but a little bit of the, you know, saltiness as well. So you can snack and healthy and get that sort of sweet craving as well.
Yeah.
Satisfy that
and
sweet
people
craving.
People who love that. Well, you know your market
right.
well, and you've done all your homework and your all your principles are in order. And now that we've sold the product, tell our listeners how they can get it.
Oh, well, a good place to start would be our website. You can go to the store locator and see if there's a store near you by just entering your zip code. And if not, you can just order right from our website. We've got a shopping site there. It's very simple. We get orders out very, very quickly. 1 to 2 days, we'll send the orders out.
Okay, and let's just remember that it's a Z. POPZUP, which is very clever also, I think. I mean, you could just see
Thank
it
you.
Popping right up.
Yeah, yep, it pops up.
Well,
yeah, and
Julie,
that's our website.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's popsup.com, POPZUP.com.
Right, well, it's a pleasure interviewing somebody who has it all together.
Thank you.
I guess you have a lot of experience, too, but you do have it all together. And I wish you continued success. And, I await any expansion, especially in your market. I hope that you could expand your market. It's such a tight niche, actually. Everybody loves it, though, now. Popcorn. People go nuts over popcorn. So, I thank you for talking to us, and keep
You're
us
welcome.
Posted on your development.
I will, and thank you so much for this wonderful interview. It's been a pleasure. Speaking with you.
Well, it's fun for us.
We're very sad, like you are, for your four-legged friend who departed this world. And presumably,
thank you.
His quantity of popcorn consumption has gone down.
Aw. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Wow.
That was Beauregard, our Papillon. Unfortunately, sadly, we lost our beloved Papillon this morning, which was very, very difficult, but, anyway, I don't know what words. I have no more words for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what can you say? Well, sympathies, continued success, and keep in touch.
Thank you. I will, and you as well, and thank you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right, bye-bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Okay, I started recording.
Here we are. We're talking to Irene Costello, and we always talk to the people from Effie's Homemade. About this time of the year. It's gone on for, I forget how many years, Irene. Your name, Costello, is that Irish?
It is.
Yeah, I've been having an argument with somebody because I had a supervisor in Philadelphia who was Irish as Irish, and his name was Costello. And yet there's one of my neighbors keeps insisting that our local developer, that it's Italian for Castello, castle, which it isn't. It's a very purely Irish name.
Correct. Very old Celtic name.
It was the first Italianate adaptation into English, apparently.
And I think I've never seen it Costello in Italian. I've seen Castello.
Castello, right.
Yeah.
Right. Castello means castle in Italian.
Costello is a
really long established, very early established Irish surname. So Anyhow, so that we agree on that.
We do agree on that.
So here's why we're talking. We always talk because there's always something new that you're doing. You two can't stay still.
No, we can't. You can't stay still in this business.
Yeah. So, but Joan's not with us. MacIsaac is not with us today. But your company is Effie's Homemade. And which one of you is related to Effie?
Joan is Effie's daughter.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. So you're always on the move, I mean. And I have to say that I'm always really excited when you come out with a new product because it's always the best of the best. And listeners, you heard me say that. You don't hear me say that all the time.
No, that's so nice. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, you always get it right. I don't know. I mean, so you just keep moving forward, developing new products, developing. So most recently, you have new packaging.
We do. Yeah.
And new products. Expanded availability. I don't know about that.
So we just returned from the Fancy Food Show, where I believe that's where we met you.
Many years ago.
So we were there this year, and we launched brand new packaging design. It's still the same box. It's still the same weight. Still the same shape and size. But we realized that the packaging that we had before wasn't quite informing the consumer at the shelf what you could expect. It wasn't describing the taste. And so we went off and did another rebrand in the design of our box. And we love this new box.
Oh, it's great.
It's really fun.
You send the samples of it. It's amazing to me. I mean, you have been at the top of your career, your business, for so long. But you have an itch somewhere that you keep striving for more and above. What's that come from?
Well, I think it's the nature of the business, Anne, because, you know, you have to keep staying fresh and coming out with something new. Every time we go to the Fancy Food Show, you know, people come up and say, what's new? What's new? What do you have to do? And, you know, when we don't have anything new, it matters. So we've actually decided that we're only going to do the show when we have something new to present. And I think ultimately that will be every year.
Yeah, but that's...
We'll keep going to the show.
Yeah, it's not a wild bet. I mean, you're going to have something new.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
What was the trigger point that you loved Effie's Homemade so much? Was it when you were expecting Adam? What was it that attracted your attention?
Peter asked me that this morning of all times. What was it that caught my attention with all those products? I'm not quite sure. The first thing I would point out is I do not have an intense sweet tooth, and I do love oatcakes. So combining those two things would make it a natural attraction to me.
Mm-hmm.
But they're more... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and that's common across our entire line, and the new packaging actually says they're crisp, they're buttery, and they're not too sweet.
Yeah,
Is that new
that you put that on the package itself? Because I was wondering, has there always been on the package?
No, it never was. It may have been somewhere, you know, depending on the flavor. Something was described as crisp or buttery, but you know, the whole line is crisp, buttery, and not too sweet. And
yeah,
so
well, the not
we
too
put
sweet
really
is by attraction. Yeah, I mean that's the attraction for me. But how did
Correct,
you determine that it would be? You know, we have. You know, I won't say the brand, but we got some candies that are so sweet they make your teeth ache.
Mm.
And yeah, and even Peter, who has an intense sweet tooth, can't get through them.
Oh my goodness!
But yet there are people at our swim club that love that kind of thing.
Are they the ones from Manischewitz that you're referring to?
We weren't going to mention the name.
Oh,
don't mention the name. So, but what I'm saying is, how did you figure out that there were enough of people like us that don't like anything dead sweet that this would be a marketable product?
Oh, well, you know, it started with the oat cake. The oat cake is not terribly sweet. You know, it's not shortbread. You know, it's toasty and it has regular cane sugar in it, not powdered sugar.
Right.
And it is just, its very nature is not overly sweet. Not in that regard, it's more of a biscuit than a cookie. And
I fell in love with oat cakes in England.
Right.
Oh, is that where you caught up with them?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But these are not English oat cakes. They're Scottish oat cakes either. Those are very different products. Yeah.
So they're Scottish oat cakes, or they're not Scottish oat cakes?
They're not Scottish, okay. Well, they're Nova Scotian. The Scots brought their oat cakes to the New World. They settled Nova Scotia, and they brought their food traditions with them. And then, you know, with a lot of recipes, it evolved over time. And this is a very classic farmhouse type of recipe that, you know, there was plenty of butter. No. Back on the farm, there was plenty of lard on the farm, and then butter, and then in the United States, the rolled oats became more prevalent than the steel cut. So you know the oats themselves changed the recipe, and then some you know sugar would have been added, but again not. You know, not too much, not overly sweetened.
Right.
So it's like any, you know, sort of old world, new world, you know, sort of food tradition. It evolves, and that's kind of the fun part of the story.
What kind of comments did you get at the show?
Oh, people were overwhelmingly positive. Distributors, retailers. The packaging is terrific.
Yeah.
And the new flavors, the Gruyere and the hazelnut.
Oh, that Gruyere is fabulous.
Isn't that nice? Thank you. Oh, I know. It might be my new favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stop eating them, unfortunately.
Yeah, we couldn't remember if you won a Sophie this year or last year.
We won a Sophie last year for the corn cake, the corn biscuit rather.
Right.
Yep. And it's funny because
we've won.
I think we're up to 12 Sophies now.
Yeah.
And it's nice because we can compete in both the cracker and the cookie categories, and each flavor has won in either of those two categories. So that's pretty exciting.
How do you like this idea? They don't do the silver or the new product, and they just do gold now. How do you like that system?
I think it's new this year.
It is.
New this year? Yeah. Well, I think we may have won another Sophie if they had done silver, but, you know, they have to streamline it. It's a lot of product that gets reviewed. And
I don't know how they do
it. It's a little sad.
I never wanted to do that. I mean, I can't even imagine how you could keep your taste buds going that long to cover all that stuff, you know.
Oh, I agree. But we actually lost all of our Sophies in an accident on the way to the fancy food show last year. So this is what happened. We put a pallet on the truck to send it out ahead of the show, and there was a huge accident on the Ohio Turnpike before Christmas. I don't know if you remember that. Like a 40-car pileup.
And
the truck was in the accident, and he completed a complete loss. And we never... We had to file the claim and get our booth. We got our booth redone, lickety split. We were really lucky, but the Sophies were in that pileup.
We tried to get the
Food Association to, you know, let us get some, you know, replace this gold statue.
Yeah.
we would have been here. We would have been there, except that most years we go to visit my family in England, and I'm sure that's probably where we were.
So, well, you know, I don't know how long before actually the Specialty Food Association is going to run out of space in that cavernous hall. It's still, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I don't know how they do it. It is amazing.
You can't get through it. And we used to be able to get through that show in 3 days. And now you can't get through.
Oh, wow. I can't imagine walking that show in 3 days.
Wow, yeah. I actually got used to tasting, pork sausage at one count, at one stand, and then moving next door and having chocolate. That was sick.
I know. Oh, and 1 year we were behind somebody that was, cooking off, sauteing off something that had a really pungent garlic smell. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
do you remember who was it that had things flying out of a machine? And you remember that one? And the machine went crazy. What was that?
Oh, I don't know.
It shot these little brown things out of some machine. I can't remember what it was.
Oh my gosh.
And then there always says the dancing jelly beans. So
crazy.
Now, how do you work? I mean, like, you must have similar tastes. You and your partner must have similar tastes.
We do.
How do you do that?
Yeah. How do we do that? Well, we think about sort of flavor combinations and that we like. For years, I wanted to do something with cardamom, and you know, we finally came out with another biscuit that had nuts in it and thought, that almond and cardamom would be a nice match.
Yeah.
So finally got cardamom in the lineup. And a couple of years ago, we were asked if we would ever put cheese into make a cheese biscuit. And it was for a customer that was actually interested in doing some private labeling. And Our first attempt was actually Joan used to make these blue cheese crisps in catering. business, and so we tried it with that. It didn't go over so well. there are many products that don't ever get to the marketplace.
I was thinking of blue cheese. I read today online somewhere that some company is making blue cheese products for kids by cutting the amount of blue cheese in the product. And I never thought
they're
about that.
They're cutting it out?
They're reducing the amount and reducing the strength of the flavor of the blue cheese.
Oh, to make it more enticing for them?
For more palatable for kids. Yeah, I never even thought about that.
You know, blue cheese is, you know, it can be really, it could be really strong and almost stinging. And, but it can be also, you know, just delightfully creamy and mild. So it's interesting that they have to cut it out.
There are two brands we really like in the West. One is Point Reyes, which is north of San Francisco, and then the other one is Rogue Creamery.
Rogue.
They're both great.
They're both absolutely great providers.
We haven't heard from them in a while.
Point Reyes. Point Reyes is wonderful. Point Reyes is wonderful. We've done a lot of pairings with them. Right. We've done
they're
a lot
nice
of pairings
people.
With them.
Yeah.
Lovely
everybody
people.
Who's worked with them really likes them too, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that works also with Burlap and Barrel. They do a lot of collaborations. And everybody seems to like working with them, too. They're nice
guys. We love
guys.
Collaborating. Yeah, we love doing that.
Well, that's really on trend. I mean, so many collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
So you ought to talk to the guys at Burlap and Barrel.
Okay.
They're really Ori. The one's a chef and the other one's not. Ori is not the chef. He's the one we usually have on the program. I'm blocking on the other name. They've done collaboration with the people we know, and
uh-huh.
so we get the feedback. And they're really good to work with. How many years total have you been doing this now?
We started on the eve of the financial crash. So 2007 is when we started the company.
Oh,
and
boy.
We launched the oat cake in February 2008.
Okay. And have you noticed, I mean, you would be at the forefront of changing tastes. I keep reading all these new trends and predictions and so forth. But I don't know where we ended up. How different is the market now?
Well, it's different in that there's always something new coming out. And, you know, to be honest, we don't try to follow that end of the food trends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not...
Well, you're the trendsetters. You don't have to do that.
In our own way, we kind of came across this, you know, lightly sweet, sort of, you know, lightly savory, sweet kind of combination of a cookie and a cracker, you know, calling it a biscuit. But, you know, we're not chasing the new, you know, I don't know, newfangled, like, ache cherry and berries and things like that and trying to get, sort of other products, other types of newer ingredients and innovative ingredients into our product. For example, we never did gluten-free, and we get asked a lot to do gluten-free. But when we looked at it, like, you know what? We'll never be able to create the oat cake in a gluten-free product because what is, you know, gluten-free? You have to add more salt, add more sugar, add more fat, and yeah, we could do that, but you know, we're not going to get the, you also have to add things like xanthan gum and stabilizers, and that's not something that's found in your pantry. And so we just decided not to do that. The world doesn't need another gluten-free.
The bottom line is most of the gluten-free stuff tastes like cardboard.
I wasn't going to say that.
I'm going to say it because it really does. No,
there
we did have
good,
one gluten-free product that didn't taste like cardboard, and I can't remember which it is. I mean, it's just amazing the stretches people go to get something new on the market. That that kind of amazes me. And the stuff that they do, they put out, I mean, because we get all this stuff, you know.
right. Yeah, you probably see more than we do.
Well, I think so. I don't know how much market research companies do, to tell you the truth, because I think a lot of places sabotage their success without understanding the market. Who is your market? I mean, you have a very committed market, right?
Who is our customer base?
Yes.
Consumer base? Yeah. Well, we started with the, the baby boom, our age group. And, we're going, to the, the younger ages now, families, kids like the products. It's really funny when we're in a store doing a demonstration and a mom comes up with her kids, she'll give the kids a sample, and if they like it, she'll buy it.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you find out, mom has to have her own stash because her husband finds it and eats it, and everybody's eating the oatcakes, so they're all, hiding them from their family. I'm like, oh, please. There's plenty. We're making plenty.
I love walking into the our son, daughter-in-law, and two grandchildren live outside of Philadelphia, and they've custom designed their current home, and it has a an absolutely huge pantry stocked with. I mean, I've never seen so many snacks in my whole life.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's fascinating to see what the kids go for. You know, they're really so much more sophisticated in taste than like our generation or anything.
Oh, they sure are. I remember, Joan and I laugh about this, when we were, young adults, the height of sophistication was nachos and loaded baked potato skins. that's what we were eating out and about. We weren't going to these like really cool restaurants. They didn't have cool restaurants in Boston back then. So it's just this renaissance of culinary field is just wonderful, and it's really impressive that younger people, they have very discerning palates.
Yeah,
and that's all good, because they like our products too.
Well, now, is there anything that you'd like to tell our listeners that we haven't talked about that you want them to know that's happening with your company or your products? The packaging is exciting. We said that. What else?
Nothing kind of corny like, please buy more Epi's.
Well, you know what? This packaging change was really brought out something that we have been wrestling with since we started. And when we were going through this design, we realized, we're still grappling with it. And it's the question of, what is it? It's not quite a cookie because it's not as sweet. Technically, probably not a cracker, although we are categorized as a cracker in many places because we go fabulously well with different cheeses. and we kind of hitched our wagon to the cheese world. And when you go and look for us in the store, it's typically in the specialty cheese department or a cheese shop. And so we've, you know, we made all these kind of pretty, I think, clever decisions early on, but it was still the confusion of, like, what is it? And, you know, we decided a couple of years ago we're gonna be a biscuit.
Well, I was just going to say that the UK resolved that by having biscuits.
And we're copying them. So it's like a tea biscuit, but it goes great with cheese. And but it's just this funny thing that's like, you know, again, what is it? And that's what this packaging project and the new box design is set up to do, is like explain very clearly what it is and what the consumer can expect and how to use it. So we're super excited, and the boxes will be coming out, hitting the shelves over the next coming weeks and months, and by the fourth quarter they should be completely in all the stores.
Yeah, just tell our listeners briefly how best to get these biscuits.
Well, just on a national level, if we are in Whole Foods and we are in any Kroger banner, all the Krogers, the Smiths, the QFCs, Fred Meyer,
to
name a few.
Do you online?
Super. And you can also go online. Yep, you can go on our Amazon. We have a page on Amazon, and we also have our own website.
Yeah, well, Amazon has everything, doesn't it?
They do.
Were they easy to work? Oh, I can't ask you that. Forget that I started to ask you that question.
Okay.
Well, Irene Costello, again, another shout-out to one of the great products out there, Effie's Homemade Biscuits, mind you, listeners. And they're truly exceptional, and I've been a cheerleader since I first tasted them. So,
well,
and so has Peter. Peter says,
yeah, thank you.
They're really good, he said.
It's pretty much time to go get one.
Yeah, let's go get one.
Go have one with a cup of tea.
Here we go. We're going to get one.
I mean, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, especially so close to the closing of that, the marathon fancy food show.
It was quite a show, and I really appreciate your remembering us and keeping in touch with us, Anne and Peter.
Right,
so thank you.
And hello to Joan, please, too.
Well, I'd definitely pass that on. Okay.
Keep us in
mind. Take care. Have a wonderful summer.
Thank you. And, you know, if you want to get the word out about anything you're working on, just email me.
Okay. Will do.
Okay.
Thanks for
Thank you so much.